Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzz TV fans, and welcome to the AfterBuzz TV Guardians of the Galaxy After Show. We are covering episode 3, One in a Million You, which I honestly thought that something got caught up in that title, because that's a little interesting. And I have with me today our lovely panel, Emma Fife.
Hello, you can follow me all over the internet at Emma Fife.
Alexis Torres.
Hey guys, you can follow me at atorres890.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me on Twitter at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. We're also checking the live chat, looks like.
Yeah, we are.
Yep. Is the internet working today?
Yeah, it's cooking right now. We'll see what happens.
Brilliant. Hopefully that'll continue. We had some trouble during the Steven Universe show. And we are also checking the hashtag on Twitter that is ABTVGOTG, because we love our alphabet soup hashtags. So if you have something fun to say, any observations, any questions you want to ask, put them in the live chat, put them in the hashtag, and you may get a shout out on air.
Yeah.
So, what did we think of this episode?
I liked it. I thought the pacing was better.
I was going to say, better is the key word here.
It wasn't perfect.
No.
But it was definitely better. I was sad that Cosmo was not in this episode. Yeah. I just want him to come back and be there forever.
I think we're just going to be sad every single time that Cosmo's not in the episode. But also, I'm very annoyed with Rocket. I was just like, come on, buddy.
Yeah. Just tweet James Arnold Taylor and be like, dude, so when's Cosmo coming back?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, we need you back in the show. Like, so can we have more Cosmo? Here, boy.
Oh, no.
I'm with you as well. I was a little exasperated at Rocket, and I feel like this is one of those, we have to have an episode about a character. So yeah, we're going to exaggerate this trait a little bit, and then we'll go and do the thing and win the stuff. That train of thought just derailed.
No, I know where you were going with that, though, that it felt a little contrived from a standpoint of they latched onto a single character trait of Rocket and just had him do that for the whole episode. It was just Rocket being really stubborn and making decisions based on food.
I didn't realize how much he loved pellets. That's something new.
Yeah.
To Groot, even though we all know him as one of those characters that loves to pull at heartstrings and things like that, but at the same time, like, I loved his little, I don't know what you would call it, that flower.
The mood flowers.
Yeah, the mood flowers. A little strange. I was just like, what?
Like, the flower is able to sense when Rocket is in danger and in wilts, and therefore it's like, we have to go. My raccoon needs me.
Yes. I really want that.
That was really funny.
Charades was amazing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, when he busted out the leaves to make it look like Rocket. I was like, at first I was like, what's happening? Why does he have leaves sprout? Oh.
Dear fan artists in the audience, I would love to see your interpretations of how Groot charades as the other members of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, man.
Tell me what leaf shapes those would be, because I am super to see that.
I want Groot to have Gamora hair, but the leaves will be different colors.
Yes! Oh, man.
Or just like vines.
Yeah, it would just be adorable.
Yep.
So we start off the episode with a wrong left turn at Albuquerque, evidently.
Wow. You went there.
As they wound up on a planet running away from a humanoid dragon, which we find out later is Fin Fang Foom. Hello.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
That's a very interesting out of left field cameo to have there.
I mean,
yeah.
And he gets outsmarted fairly easily for Fin Fang Foom.
Yeah.
So, they are running away from him, and it turns out that the map was not 100% correct because he was holding it upside down the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Which evidently Groot may or may not have been trying to tell him, but Rocket wasn't interpreting.
Yes.
Nope.
And everyone's telling Rocket, we need the thrusters fixed, we need the shields fixed, we need the this fixed, we need the that fixed.
Mm-hmm. And like, he's all right, feeling unappreciated,
yes,
Rocket.
He's getting very frustrated and cannot fix multiple things at once. But the flip side, the point that Gamora makes is we wouldn't have to keep repairing things if you would quit taking parts and putting them in other stuff.
Exactly.
At which point we find out that he has installed a neck massager in the pilot's chair.
That was so cool. It looked like Beats to me at first.
I know, it did. It totally looked like Beats by Dre.
I was like, is Beats part of this? Dre, get your, okay.
How does the neck massager work?
I was going to say, it also looked to mostly be an homage to the headphones that Star-Lord wears.
Yeah,
with his Walkman.
It was adorable.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I was into it.
Some of the throwaway jokes for this were absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
So they get the ship fixed, kind of. Rocket winds up taking the controls and dumping a bunch of explosives in the dragon's face so they can get away, which everyone's kind of freaking out because he didn't tell them he was doing this, and he's flying right at a fire-breathing dragon, and wow, is this ever a bad plan.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the theme of this episode is communication issues, evidently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I do think that that was the case, was there it was that like lack of communication and putting too much pressure on Rocket to do things. Again, it just felt like they really latched on to this idea that they're like, Rocket's just going to be really angry, so we're going to justify why he's so angry in this episode.
And that's what I was trying to figure out this whole time. I was like, I know that Rocket has a temper. We all know
that.
But I feel like they like took it and they had a little Rocket anger knob and just turned it all the way up to the point where it broke. And I totally agree. It was too out of character.
They cranked it to 11.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it stayed at 11 the whole time.
I didn't understand that.
Functions at like a 6 or a 7. So this was a little wild. To the point where he'd walk away from Groot.
Yeah.
That's what's weird.
That's what hit me in a weird way of like the feels of just like you. I mean, I know that it has nothing to do with the movie. I didn't understand how you would cry if Groot died, but you're okay with just like, I'm out.
See you later.
Yeah.
Deuces. Bye, like, dude. It was weird.
it would have been one thing if, Rocket had gone into staying with the Collector.
Right.
With the intent of sabotaging him. Yeah, exactly. But that was not the impression I got.
He just got fed up and was like, this guy appreciates me.
I'm out.
Well, and the rest of the crew pretty much went, he just needs some time to cool down.
We'll go back for him.
We'll give him the droid back. Life will be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and actually, they get picked up by the Collector because he thinks their ship is a salvage ship? No, he doesn't.
No.
He just picked them up.
Yeah.
It's good to see the Collector again, though.
It was.
I kind of love this guy.
His voice sounded familiar. Does anybody know who voices him? I don't know why.
No. I believe I have the Wikipedia article up, so perhaps I can find out fairly quickly.
I don't know. It was bothering me the whole episode. I was like, your voice is really familiar, but I don't know who you are.
Tom Kenny.
Oh, my God.
Oh, there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
There's her face. I was waiting for it.
Oh, my God. Starscream shows up in weirdest places.
I had to play a little bit of a lie there just to see your face.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, I had to do it.
Wait, you didn't know it was Tom Kenny?
I just wanted to see Katie's face. I'm going to move over here.
We're on camera or there would be obscene gestures happening right now, let me tell you. It's a kid's show.
Mayor of Townsville.
Oh, my goodness. Starbob Scream Pants.
Yep, exactly.
I can't. Sorry. Tom Kenny.
Yep. I had to do it. Mark Donica, that was also for you.
Nice. Leave.
Yeah, okay. But no, I thought they
could. Oh, there's a round of applause.
Thank you. But no, I think he did such a really good job because I sat there and I was like, God, this voice is just ridiculous. Looked at him. Well, that makes more sense now.
Yep.
Tom Kenny.
I was like, I feel like his hair is so ridiculous. Like, what's happening with that hairstyle?
It translates oddly into animation, but again, I kind of love it.
Yeah. No, I was okay with the Collector.
Yeah.
I was like, you go, buddy.
So we have Starbob Scream Pants picked him up, and I'm probably going to need to stop calling him that.
It's too late.
Almost too easy.
Yep.
Stardrew in the chat says the Collector, wow, it is so evil. I'm not sure if that's a sentence.
I get it. I don't remember him being that evil, but again, this is just me going off of the movie because he kind of was just that really creepy guy who likes to collect stuff.
Yeah.
I honestly would put him at closer to neutral.
Yeah, I feel like, the Collector is on his own side.
Okay, oh, yeah.
Cool. All right.
Just like playing
his
neutral.
Yeah, he's playing his own
game. He's totally willing to go the extra mile as long as it benefits him.
I see.
Okay. And he will totally X-ray vision anyone in his path.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're unique.
Yeah.
And you're creepy.
Yeah.
So he essentially sees Rocket and decides, okay, I want that one.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. And it turns into, your lovely little box is incomplete and requires Pandorian crystals. Well, do you have them? Nah, they're not unique enough for me. I'm kind of a hipster. He essentially trades the location of these Pandorian crystals and a little worker droid to fix up the ship for Rocket. And entices Rocket with, look at all the supplies you'll have to work with, and look at the free food, and look at all of this. And, you know, we're sitting here Admiral Ackbar-ing it up, going, it's a trap, it's a trap.
I'm so glad someone else said it, because I was about to say, I was just like, that's a trap.
Oh, yeah. It's again, I'm wondering what age group this show is aimed at.
I thought
because it's 9:30 p.m. on a Saturday night, which to me would say it tries to skew a little older, but a lot of the tropes and a lot of the dialogue skew much younger.
I agree.
Like 9 to 14 age
I also
range.
Feel like that, even though a lot of kids, like Y7 or whatever you want to call it, rating-wise, I feel like a lot of kids who I know are under the age of like 10, they're up that late on Saturday because it's their only day to be up late.
I was going to say, this actually is a good time to bring up. So DBZ King 02, hello,
buddy.
Good to see you again.
You're in all of my chats.
The chat says, does anybody else feel like Will Friedle's voice is a little out of place for the show? I don't know, maybe it's just the character design. And I think that this sort of goes to what we were saying, that it seems like this show is skewing kind of young.
Yeah. It's reminding me a little, like, 2000s anime.
Yeah, totally.
Back when they couldn't figure out, is this a cartoon show for kids or is this a show with an actual plot?
Yeah,
so you would have dubs that half of the characters are really good and talk like normal people.
Right.
And half of the characters have these really cartoony voices.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is kind of an early 2000s anime dub.
A little bit,
better written, but nonetheless.
It's also really tough because Will Friedle does a lot of stuff.
He does. And that's the other thing is, you know, people in the chat are praising, you know, it was more subtle when he was, you know, Terry McGinnis and Batman Beyond, and they're like, he can do more. I mean, he's incredibly talented.
Yeah. But this is a matter of direction.
Yeah, this is a matter of direction. Yeah, this is not him.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with him. The director picks the sound bites that they choose. That's how it works.
Because we also have a very flat Gamora.
We do.
And I love Vanessa Marshall.
Yeah.
Like, she voices Hera in Star Wars Rebels. Which is going to start in a couple weeks, you guys. But we know that she's capable of being this incredibly awesome woman on the crew that's their anchor. Because, again, she's Hera. She knows her stuff.
I'm not trying to dissuade the conversation.
It's odd direction.
But
It's odd vocal direction
but
is what it is.
That's exactly how I feel. Because, I mean, again, not to be off topic, but the first Sword Art dub was really rough for me. Because watching it in Japanese, it was very exciting and then Bryce and everybody
emotional
was
and
there it was kind of monotone and I was like, what's happening? But it has nothing to do with the actor.
No.
It's the way that the director picks what he wants.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, we love you, Will. So you know.
And I put this in my notes that when they first get pulled into the ship and he's saying, you check R6, you do the right, you do the left, he sounded like B.
He did.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I just went, oh my God, it's Bumblebee in the room. Things are getting real.
Yeah.
So I honestly think that would be a better voice.
Yeah. Bumblebee? Yeah, well, I mean,
not the exact
same, but a little more. I was going to say, weirdly enough, Bumblebee seems to be the slightly more mature character.
Well, he's lived a little longer and he's had a much better mentor figure.
That's true.
Something to live up to. Yondu doesn't give you that.
Yeah, no.
But
that's true.
I understand what he's also trying to do because the fact that we have, you know, Star Lord or Landlord or whatever you want to call
it. I love Landlord. That was my favorite ridiculous
running
joke.
I really enjoyed that recurring joke.
Calling him landlord.
But the recurring thing about him is that he's a jokester. That's what he does. He doesn't care. So I know that he's trying to throw in a little bit of that Ron Stoppable kind of goofy guy. But it's kind of weird.
I think it's just that they're going like this. Even though we talked about the fact that it's on at 9 o'clock at
9:30
on Saturdays. It really does feel like a Saturday morning cartoon.
They flattened out the characters to make them more palatable for kids. And it's a disservice to the characters.
Because I agree.
Even with, what do we have? Was it a 2-hour movie? 90 minutes? Not super long.
Yeah.
But we got so much dimension to these characters. And having a series gives us so much time to explore that. And we're not taking advantage of it. We have Rocket, who's angry. And Groot, who is Groot. And Drax, who doesn't understand idioms and says weird things. And Star-Lord, who
who's a goof, and Gamora, who is serious business all the term.
So, it's... I don't know. I sort of like Gamora in this. I feel like she's a little sarcastic. Like,
I want more inflection in the voice. Yeah, I think
that's fair. I like the way they write her, though, in this show. Even though I felt like the pacing overall was better in this episode, I felt that the feel of the last episode was a little closer to the feel of the movie, which I enjoyed so much.
Yeah. We're also still in episode 3.
I know.
60 minutes worth of content at this point.
This is true.
Hopefully we can start hitting our stride a little more, because it looks like it's going to be a very episodic series.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to reserve my judgment, but at the same time, there are just stuff that you're just like, what's happening?
Yeah, totally.
There are things that are like, this is really good, and there are things that are like, I don't know what I just witnessed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, also for the whole like age thing, exhaust port?
Yeah.
We actually saw a diagram of going through an exhaust port. Stop.
And we followed it up with, we just flew out a space monster's butt.
So, like, it's like, weird. Because like,
I know.
We saw a diagram.
Our age bracket.
Yeah, so I was like, we have because a diagram. We've got.
I know.
Because. What?
I thought that the exhaust port thing was funny. Clever. It was clever. And then they just had to go there with the fart joke.
And for the 6-year olds in the audience.
Yeah. I was just like, I had to literally hit pause and just be like, what? What I feel like I jumped from like 3 different generations in one sentence.
Oh my gosh. So in the chat, I just want to bring this up. Mr. D Style 09 says,
hi, buddy.
The collector looks exactly like Benicio del Toro.
He does. Oh, no. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, Benicio, what's happening? What are you doing in this series?
You're not wrong.
Nah. Nope.
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
In between the monster fart jokes and Benicio del Toro, let's carve out a little time to talk about IT.
Oh my god, she used the word carve. Get out of here. I'm done.
Why?
Sorry, I was thinking of the diagram and carving as well. I'm gonna stop now and be quiet.
Okay.
Honey, are you okay?
No.
Okay, neither am I.
All right.
Anyway, if you've seen AfterBuzz shows, you've seen the spiel, but we're doing it again for the new people in the audience. We have new people in the audience, right? Hi, we love you. And we would like to know your opinion on us. So, you know, comment on subscribe and all of that fun stuff on iTunes, like us on iTunes, and rate, comment, and subscribe on, well, I meant to start with YouTube. Wow. It's been a long day for your pilot, ladies and gentlemen.
I believe in you. You can do it.
Landlord here is having some trouble.
Oh, dear.
Yes. Like us on YouTube, subscribe on YouTube, comment on YouTube, and rate, comment, subscribe on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Tell us you love us. All of that wonderful stuff. Because if you do that, it lets our producers know, hey, people like watching these people talk about crazy space antics. We should continue to let them talk about crazy space antics on air. And hence we're here. In some cases, it might also help bring in guests. They can see that we're having a really good time here and they want to join the party. So, let us know you love us. It's a wonderful thing. And if you comment on iTunes, we will give you a shout out on the show and read the comment. Do we have any?
We actually have two.
Brilliant.
I'm working on bringing them up right now. So y'all continue to talk amongst yourselves.
The internet's taking its
time. And I'm going to try to sort out what's going on with the internet. It's going to be great.
Well, I want to talk about the Oblittlebot that we had.
That was amazing, by the way.
Thank you.
Did that remind anybody else?
The Decepticon that Rocket built.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say it sort of reminded me of those robots in the original RoboCop that they brought in. And, they shoot up the guy and he gets all full of bullet holes and dies on top of the city.
I know what you're talking about.
You brought
me
back. Holy crap.
I was honestly thinking of a cross between Underbite and a Mouser.
Well, that too. Ooh,
that's
sure.
Where my brain went.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All of the other children's cartoons I'm into.
But I love how it was also kind of a pet-like... features that it had. It was like motioning, licking his face like a dog would, and I was like, this is weird. But I didn't understand the point of making one, because I thought he was trying to make an escape, but really he was just making one just to make one. I just wanted to pick your brain about that, because I didn't know if that was a thing.
I think he's just a habitual tinkerer.
Yeah, okay. That was how I interpreted it.
He is going to do it, and it's going to be fun. Again, that's why he keeps taking the parts out of the ship and building other stuff.
So it's like his OCD, but not really.
Totally. Yeah,
just needing something to do with his hands, paws, things.
Yeah. You know, claws, whatever.
Little raccoon fingers.
Yeah. I thought that was very interesting. I didn't realize that the collector put that, God, what is it called? Yeah, on him. Did he have that before, or am I just...
The collector did put it on him, and there was a comment about what's with the badge. I'm like, oh, it'll give you access to the lab, and this and that and the other.
Okay, all right, so
like,
I missed
that part. Like, he straight up lied about it, and then, you know, kind of did the smirk to the camera that was like, guess what, kiddies? I'm a bad guy.
He's a baddie.
Yeah. So we had that, and you knew it was going to go down
that
way. Yeah. You absolutely knew. This is the guy who had Cosmo in a cage in the movie.
I know.
Which, it's Cosmo.
That's not cool.
I know.
Not cool.
Cosmo's still my favorite character, even though he wasn't in the episode.
I know, right? I think Cosmo is all of our favorite characters.
I'm never
going to
let go.
In the episode.
Never going to let go.
Do we have them loaded?
I got
them.
Awesome. I'm ready. I'm so good. Okay. Ready? Okay, so the name of this review is I Am Groot. It's by Trending Danny.
Play Trending Danny.
And Trending Danny says, love the show and the cast of this recap show. Give a listen at Who's Danny H. Oh, that's the Twitter handle.
We will follow you.
We'll follow you.
I'm going to do that right now.
All right, and then the other one is entitled Funny Podcast, which always makes me happy. This one's by Ducksman.
Ducksman!
I love it. It's funny. It's great. And it's really great. And it allows us about Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon series. So, yeah, that allows us to chat about it.
I think accidentally a word there.
Yep. Whatever.
But that's okay. We still love
whatever. They think it's funny and it's great. So
what ratings did we get? I didn't hear. I'm sorry.
I Am Groot was a 5-star rating, and the one that said it was funny was 4. So pretty good.
All right. Obviously, we're not funny enough.
I know. We got to step up
that
the
last
comedy.
Star.
More fart jokes.
No.
Space butt.
Space
butt. Just gonna say that randomly, guys.
Space butt. The podcast. Yeah.
Space monster's butt.
So I'm landlord. You're space butt.
Right.
What phrase do you want to be named after?
Space butt. I'm going to be Panda Crystals.
There you go. Pandorian Crystals. I like it.
I did love, and I wrote it down, you can put us down anytime. Why not now?
That was great.
Bless you, my child.
Yeah. That's the thing, is there are some really clever, funny moments in the show, which is why I'm still hopeful.
It's only episode 3.
Exactly. Only episode 3.
Well, and it doesn't have to be funny all the time.
No.
It's good at the little quips. We just need the character moments. Mm-hmm. We need Drax looking at the hologram of his family.
Yeah.
And we need people actually... It needs time to breathe.
It does.
We don't have any of that.
It really does. Yeah, I mean, it's so interesting. This is... I'm trying to remember what show I was... talking about. Oh, I was talking about Steven Universe.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking
with
of.
My roommate about how in some ways it resembles like a Miyazaki film, because like Hayao Miyazaki is a very famous Japanese filmmaker.
You were talking to me. This was the after show.
But I'm saying like he's really good at allowing scenes to breathe, and that's something that we're simply not seeing here. And I think that's actually really typical in American animation, that they feel like they have to fill every single second with action.
They think that kids are dumb.
I hate that.
It's like, again, you look at some of the much older dubs, and I'm going back to Transformers Armada here because this one killed me. There is no silence. There's a narrator. There's some guy going, if they're on screen. There has to be sound all the time. And the best episode was the episode that focused on the Decepticons and had no little kid narrator. And it was like, this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, it's probably still terrible. But in comparison to everything else we've seen in this series, this is really good because it gave you time to think.
Yeah.
And the pacing, it's not as fast as it was in the first two episodes, but it's still so fast, and everything has to happen that it doesn't give you enough time to breathe.
Yeah,
it's not really selling itself as just being a comedy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not funny enough to just be a comedy.
Exactly.
Oof.
It's also
just
trying to be an action show. It's trying to be the movie. But the movie also gave you those breathing moments where there's nothing but music playing and a lot of stuff in the background where you can just kind of sit there and go, oh.
Yeah.
It gives you time to laugh at the jokes. It gives you time to sit there and go, oh, there's a reason he wants revenge, or oh, there's a reason she doesn't trust anyone. Or
right.
It gives you time to process.
Yeah.
And just because it's for kids, you know, for kids, doesn't mean that you don't need processing time.
Yeah, I just feel like, I mean, not to throw any of the newer cartoons under the bus or anything like that, I just feel like, even just noticing from, like, Nickelodeon commercials or any of the Cartoon Network commercials, everything is fast-paced. And I'm like, I need a minute to just, I don't even know what that commercial was about.
But that's commercials. Cartoon Network has gotten better.
No, they've gotten way better.
Steven Universe, Adventure Time, et cetera.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. There are certain ones where I was like watching something and I can't remember for the life of me what it was. And I was just,
Uncle Grandpa?
Yes.
Why were you watching Uncle Grandpa?
It was on. I was just watching it. That's what I do when I'm in front of the TV. But I was watching it and I was just like, what's happening? I don't even know what's going on. Am I in an episode? Like, yeah. I don't know. But I'm hoping that that's not the case in this one. Because, again, it's only episode 3.
Exactly. So. Before we get into talking more about the show, everyone in the chat thinks we're wonderful. Renji9998 gives us, it looks like, seven stars, one of which is like twinkling. It's amazing.
That doesn't seem physically possible.
Mr. DStyle09 says, you ladies are awesome. 5 stars. Star Drew says, yeah, more Marvel Guardians of the Galaxy, please. Mr. DStyle then amends it to say 7 stars. And Star Drew says, I will make it 10 stars. So
doubling it up.
Guys, please put this on iTunes.
Yeah.
Our bosses don't see the chat roll, but they do see the iTunes comments.
Exactly.
So just, you know, be like, just copy, paste.
Make sure your star emoticons show up properly. I don't know what the coding for iTunes comments is.
This is why Mr. DStyle and I get along very well, because he just put in the chat, hashtag space monster butt.
And that's the perfect segue.
Hashtag space butt.
Okay, anyway.
Is that our new hashtag? Can we keep that?
Yeah, sure.
Because, I mean, no one's in the actual GOTG hashtag.
So ABTV, sure. space monster
ABTV
butt.
ABTV space butt.
Right. Yep. But no, so then, of course,
we're adults.
I mean, we are watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
We are talking about cartoons.
Yeah.
So it doesn't take long for Rocket to figure out that, surprise, surprise, he's an exhibit.
That was so crazy to me. I mean, I knew it was going to happen, but I liked his reveal of seeing all of the cases.
Yeah.
And that it hits a force field. Like his little Decepticon, help me.
Obliterator.
Thank you.
Yeah. Obliterbot, sorry.
the robot, I keep thinking monster. It's not a monster, it's a robot.
It's a robot.
The robot he builds is able to blast through a wall, and then the collector gets it with a pocket dimension. I love this.
It's like another version of like Hermione's bag. Like,
yeah, it's just like Hermione's bag.
It's a future tech version of the D&D bag of holding.
There.
And I
know. I
love it, and I want one.
I know. Yeah. I have a bag of holding. It says bag of holding on it, and it has a 20-sided dice on the side of it. You know what? Doesn't work like a real bag of holding.
Yeah.
Pretty disappointed.
I would use that for so many.
I'm just
going to throw my car in there. Like,
we ever you wouldn't have to park.
That's the whole thing.
God, that'd be great.
Dude, LA parking is the worst.
Oh, man.
So I would just stick my car and then like walk away. Telling man. Science.
If wishes were horses, man. Yeah. If wishes were horses.
Someone develop that technology.
Now.
Please.
But anyway.
So the collector snaps it up with a pocket dimension. I'm still not over this. Pocket dimension.
Pocket dimension.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
And Rocket tries to follow him out, and his collar hits a force field.
That was crazy.
And then turns into a harness.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like, hello, what? Wow. That right. got creepy mm-hmm. for a kid show.
Well, he thought he had like an all-access lab
badge,
key
yeah.
badge. Yeah.
Nope. And the collector essentially shows him this zoo. And tells him that the illusion of freedom helps him keep some of them captive, mm-hmm. which is what he was doing with Rocket, with
keeps
access
them,
to the labs.
Keeps
and
them
here's
a little more docile, in his words.
Yeah, you don't talk docile.
But that's what gave me like a red flag was when he's like, "Oh, all the pellets you can want." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds like he's gonna be like in a cage with those little feeders." And I was like, "Well, no."
Yeah, yeah. And he just hits the button and the food comes out.
Like,
yeah,
I'm
this is trained rat territory.
Yeah, free snacks.
Free snacks.
That's all you'll get me. Free snacks.
So, Rocket, the downside of this is that the collector left a born tinkerer, or a made tinkerer, as this case is, in the lab with a ton of parts.
Yep.
And this is a guy who built a giant robot just from the parts he had in this lab.
Just because he felt like it.
Yeah,
because he could. Because reasons. So he builds a brainwave amplifier because the collar picks up on brainwaves. So he just overloads the thing.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be a like neural suppressor, and he turned it on its head.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
So to speak.
Whatever.
That pun was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Turned it up to 11 and absolutely busted his collar at about the same time that we see his flower wilt. And Groot kind of goes,
oh,
God.
My buddy's in trouble.
I did. Okay.
And tried
I did
to charades
think,
with them.
I did think that when Groot And Rocket had their parting moment when Rocket decided he was going to stay behind and they had the bit with the flower. I did think that was cute.
No, it was.
That definitely, I had some feelings about
that. It super was. I love Groot flowers.
Yeah.
They're adorable.
So we have Groot and charades and going back for Rocket. And we see how unsustainable this is without Rocket there. If only because Groot.
Yeah.
Because we really need an interpreter.
Yep.
So they go to bust him out. At the same time, he busts himself out. And decides, hey, I'm going to let everyone free.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody else go, no, honey.
Yeah, it turns out Fin Fang Foom was in there.
Yep.
I was just like, okay,
good job. We're back to square one. It's the beginning of the episode again.
I'm reminded of, and this, I'm going to see if I can do it without spoiling this movie. Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and that's all I'm going to say.
You know what?
Because
you're
if you've never seen Cabin in the Woods, you need to see it completely unspoiled.
That is
and it's October. I recommend it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's,
it's
no,
that
you're totally
scene.
Right. It is totally completely that scene in Cabin in the Woods.
That's
and
so
I,
crazy to me.
And because I remember when I was watching the scene, when I was watching the show, I was like, this seems
familiar.
What does this remind me of? And that's totally
Thank
it.
Thank you for doing
Nailed
that.
Nailed it.
It's Cabin
right
in the
on
Woods.
The nose.
So
we have Fing Fang Foom come out, and Rocket essentially goes, keep him busy, I have a plan. Okay, way to communicate.
Yeah.
But we haven't established the intelligence level for this version of Fing Fang Foom,
so. This is true.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And my notes just say, Rocket has an idea with jetpacks.
I feel like all of his ideas usually end up in jetpacks.
I know. I feel like all of his ideas involve incredible amounts of
firepower.
Machinery and firepower.
Because why not?
Circuitry.
Explosion.
And I also have, this is the second time in as many meetings that we've wiped out the collector's collection. Because there's a lot of collateral damage when you are fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
Every time.
And I'd feel bad for the collector, but no.
No.
Nah.
No.
Just, my this, my that, my the other. Don't go into that room.
I couldn't even keep up with the things that he was saying. I'm like, are those words?
Yeah. I think they were just making things up.
I mean.
Yeah.
Just let's Mad Libs this. What did he lose? We need adjective, time period, noun of noun.
Writers, pick out of this hat. We're going to figure this out together.
That's exactly how it went down in the writer's room, I'm sure.
That sounds
just
good.
People throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. In regards to the pocket dimension, I believe DBZ King 02 says looks like they found the perfect weapon to trap Thanos, but they're probably going to forget about it in the next episode.
Well, and this is also, again, it's not tied in with the MCU.
This is true.
So I doubt that they'll go straight for that. And again, we're dealing with the galaxy seed? The seed.
The cosmic seed.
Cosmic seed.
Everything is cosmic or galaxy or crypto or something.
Yeah, I like that the collector actually said the full name of the cube.
Yeah.
The Sparakian crypto cube. I was like, all right.
Yeah, it's got like three words in it.
Yeah, the crypto cube. Yeah.
That's too many.
William Dublin in the chat says, and how come the dude from the first two episodes they went to about the seed didn't know about needing the crystals? Because they did consult the collector.
Okay.
True.
All right.
Now, it wasn't the collector, though. It was the guy that they initially tried to sell the thing to.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
That other dude.
The one that looks like a mole, right? Is that what his name was?
No, the pink dude with the white hair.
The pink dude with the white hair.
Okay, never mind. I was thinking somebody else.
I can't remember his name, but he is the person that Star-Lord initially tried to fence the jewel
in
the movie.
Right.
Yeah. So he's back and set up on nowhere because his business kind of got blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Yeah, I think that he's saying that maybe why didn't that guy know about the needing the crystals in order to read the map properly?
Yeah,
I feel like he knows enough to be able to give an estimate, whereas the collector would make it his business to know all of the things about all of the things.
Right.
You've got someone with a high school diploma versus someone who has a PhD.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. And someone who is obsessed with one-of-a-kind, ultra-rare items.
Yeah, unhealthily so.
Yes.
Well, yeah, we could tell from, especially at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
Rocket essentially takes out Fin Fang Foom by doing a giant collar and making him docile, then having him step on the collector.
Yeah, that was fun.
And basically it's, we're taking your zoo, we're taking the pellets, we're leaving your stupid droid that can't get my name right, and goodbye. And we're taking Rocket, too. So they're making a massive, massive detour to bring all the animals back home that the collector had collected. But eventually, we're still going to go and try and find the seed. and the collector is somehow watching them, because I didn't think they kept that droid, did they?
The drone?
The drone. I thought they kicked it out.
I thought he was with them at the end of the episode, because I feel like by the end of the episode, he finally referred to him as Star-Lord.
No. Rocket got upset that the droid was still there, and he shot him.
Yeah, there you go.
That thing is destroyed. It fell into this weird hole in the ship, and I was like, all right, that thing's gone.
So it was still there for a little bit.
It was still there for a while,
He came back up and was like, Star-Lord, I've done this and this and this, and I was like, all right, well, there you go.
There it is, Rocket with the anger management this whole episode.
Like, so the collector is still waiting for them to actually go get the seed and then is going to swoop in and take it.
Right. Yeah.
So I get the feeling our season finale, series finale, goodness knows how much of an endgame they're working with this one, is going to be, we have the seed. Half the world shows up to take it.
Yeah.
All right, this is a thing.
Yeah.
That seems very plausible to me. It feels like that's the direction that this is going.
Yeah. It depends on how long it's going to take us to get there and whether we're going
to have... That is true.
Because I don't know how plot-heavy this episode was, aside from, we need this MacGuffin to make the box work. The map is complete now. Mm-hmm. I can word.
Yeah.
And I have written down from Drax, excellent, I look forward to more of your feeble attempts to harm me with your puny rodents.
I know, I liked that quote, too.
He was so angry, punching Drax like that. I was like, you do understand that you were, like, half
punching
the size.
A wall.
Like, well, yeah. Like a giant brick, concrete, extra, other stuff wall.
Drax actually had some good quotes this episode.
He did.
I felt like Drax got to have a little more humor. I particularly liked what he said to Rocket when... they were trying to convince Rocket that they wanted him to stay, and they were all sort of giving not so great compliments.
I haven't given in to the urge. You have written down.
Yeah, right? I have resisted the urge to feast on your roasted carcass so far.
Again, you know, a show for kids?
Yeah.
I was like, that seemed a little dark.
So I think that once this show figures out who it wants its audience to be, then it'll even out a little more. Because I think they're still trying to catch everyone.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree
because there are these very clever adult kind of jokes in the, you know, jokes that are going to go over a kid's head.
Yeah.
Exactly. But
so
then
a kid's going to be able to figure out if it has a mouth, it must have a this. I mean,
yeah. But I mean, overall, I mean, if you're going baseline.
Yeah.
It feels like we're going baseline and then we're trying to do more, but we're not quite getting off of the baseline.
Yeah, I totally agree. I agree with that completely. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Give them a little more dimension. Not necessarily get rid of the base humor, but maybe tone it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you have a show that works on the same level as Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Which I miss.
Yeah.
So... I miss it.
No,
I really liked it.
I don't blame you. It's a great series.
Yeah.
And that was one that had complex characters and didn't dumb things down.
Yep.
So again, Marvel, Disney, this wonderful conglomeration, is capable of doing that.
Yeah, oh, totally.
And
yeah.
I'm waiting for them to do that with the show, and hopefully they will.
And they probably will. We're impatient.
Yeah,
we want the good stuff now.
It's episode 3, and we expect great things because it's got the Marvel name on it.
Yeah.
And it's Guardians of the Galaxy. We all know it's good.
Yeah.
Like, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're working with a great base story and really interesting characters and just a fun overall tone because, you are dealing with these characters who are a hot mess, every single one of them, quite frankly.
And
that's way more fun than watching a story about people who are perfect.
Put together.
Yeah, I know.
And the other thing that's nice about this is that you have people who are a hot mess who are not angsty teenagers.
Yes.
Who are, you know, from all the reaches of the galaxy. They're all different kinds of races. And you also are working with a really fun setting of space.
It's multiple flavors of hot mess.
Look at you. I like that.
Yeah.
Hot mess in space.
Yeah. All right. We're
I love it. I want to see more of that. I want to see, because...
I mean, Rocket was acting like an angsty teenager today.
Yeah. I think that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
On the hot mess in space notes, does anyone have any predictions?
I'm going to wait for the music to go.
And the lights.
The light show is just so nice to just... Boom chicka boom chicka boom chicka boom chicka. Just like the oonchicka ooncha part. I'm just going to say it every time now. But no, I don't want to put a prediction yet because I really, every time, I mean, I know it's only been 3 episodes so far, but every time we've watched an episode so far, it's thrown me off because I'm like, okay, I expect this. That was not what I expected.
Well, and it's a little episodic, so it's hard to say from here what the long game is.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say what the next episode's going to be because it's a story of the week thing.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah. It's just rough.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Thanos and his kids are gonna come back at some point.
Like, where's Nebula?
Well, she's gonna be in it.
Nebula? I know she's in the show.
So
she's disarmed and somewhere, but who knows?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Literally disarmed.
Just missing an arm.
Yeah.
So
we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with Alexis on you too, Katie. That this is obviously going to be an episodic monster of the week kind of thing. So I wonder what other monsters of the week we're going to see, you know?
I'm just waiting for that one deep episode.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, all right.
Yeah.
If we actually get it. But I know it has to happen at least once.
I'm hoping it'll be a win and not an if. I mean, I'm going back to Transformers because, again, I do animation panels with you guys.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know that we ever got any one super deep Transformers episodes, but we definitely had moments of depth and moments of clarity.
And exactly. And moments that sank in and allowed themselves to be full moments instead of just like glimmers.
Yeah, like my favorite moment, again, I know we're not talking about Transformers completely, but my favorite moment from the whole series is Bee and Strongarm sitting up there and just talking.
Yeah.
That is a moment that I would like with one of our, or both, or all of our characters.
We need stuff like that.
Yeah, just at least once.
We need some good good, solid two-person scenes.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
It needs to breathe, you guys. It needs to breathe.
Yeah.
I know we have to leave, but I wanted to ask this question. Mm-hmm. Do you guys think that we are going to see an actual romance building between Gamora and Quill, because we definitely
while, if at all.
I was going to say, my inclination is just no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay with none of that.
No, I'm not asking that I wanted to ship them off. It's just I know that
a lot of
people...
No, you were just curious. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm okay with that not being a thing.
Yeah.
I am perfectly fine with our crazy little 5-man band.
I also want to know what you guys think also.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to pick
tweet at us.
Yes.
Hashtag it's space monster butt.
wasn't that what it was? I'm actually checking hashtag ABTVGOTG, but I think we're all going to have to start following hashtag space monster butt and just see what shows up in it.
Oh, dear.
Oh my God. All right. Well, till next week. Emma, where can the people find you?
Emma Fife. It's my name. EMMAFYFFE. That is all F's as in Frank, no S's as in snake. If you're listening, they tend to sound the same when they are recorded. You can see me on other shows here at AfterBuzz TV. A lot of them follow me on Twitter, and you'll know which ones they are.
you guys can follow me at ATORS890. I also do a lot of shows here. Castle, The Muppets, other things like that. Please come and hang out. Also, don't forget to send your questions. Use the hashtag. I'm sorry that we're just throwing a bunch of hashtags. Ask ATORS890 for my 100th vlog.
And I'm Katie Cullen. You can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at Space Monster Butt. At Kiaxet. That's KIAXET. I'm also on Snapchat at Kia Prime, and I am on so many shows, you guys. Sorry. Minority Report, Blindspot, Muppets, Z Nation, Steven Universe once a month. I'm also on the Movie Chick Movie Report, and I write articles for the Movie Chick. That is Chick with 2 K's. I do so many things. We all do.
Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for watching, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Space Monster Butt!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.